The next guy has a pretty cool story. We're going to listen to him and hopefully walk out with some gems of wisdom as well and what he's going to talk about. And then we're going to enjoy our entree. So feel free to nibble on your salads while we're doing this. And I want to introduce Anthony Ficarra. All right, guys. I met a lot of you guys last night. So anybody not here last night? Any new people? All right, cool, cool. So first off, I don't know how I was going to start this speech. I'm not even sure what I'm going to say yet. I'm still kind of working on that. I'm going to go into my story. I think that's kind of why he wanted me to speak. So I want to thank him for inviting me to speak in this. I'm not good at public speaking. I'm kind of working through that. But what I am good is I can tell my story, right? So normally when I tell my story, I usually start around when I switch careers. I'm going to get to that. But today I think I want to backtrack a little bit further because some of what I'm going to talk about is kind of betting on yourself and believing in yourself, right? And it started before I made my first career change. So going back to high school, you know, Carmen kind of inspired me. I told you I'm winging my speech and this kind of came in today. Carmen being a professional baseball player. One of the things going through high school was I knew pretty young I was going to be in the trades, blue collar. Didn't give a shit about college. Like pretty early on, had zero intention of going to college. In high school, got pretty good at baseball, and I had some college scouts coming to see me. Coach came up to me and said, "Hey man, you thought about college yet?" I'm like, "Nah, why?" He goes, "Well, so-and-so is coming here from this college, and they're coming to see you." And I'm like, "You can tell them to get some popcorn and have a, you know, good time, but I'm not going to college. Like, I don't care what they're gonna offer me. I already got my life planned out. I'm gonna be an electrician." "Are you sure?" I'm like, "Dude, absolutely. Like, I know that there's zero future of me playing professional baseball, just being smart enough to understand how hard it was to get there, what it took to get there, and what I didn't have, right?" Yeah, I was good in high school, but I knew the next level, probably not that good. And Carmen can attest to this. If you're not the best player on your team, in your conference, in your state, like, you're not gonna go anywhere. Was I the best player on my team? Maybe. In my state? Hell no, right? So I already knew beyond high school baseball, that was as far as I was gonna go. So I'm not gonna go to college and waste my time. What I could do, I could go make some money. So I left, skipped over college, went right into working. 15 days after high school, started working as a welder, a Caterpillar. Worked there for a year, just waiting to become an electrician. I knew I wanted to be an electrician, and I had that planned out. So I get a call about a year later from the IBEW. Say, "Hey, come on down to the hall, kid. You know, we're gonna sign you up." And this is 2005 now. I graduated in 04, so 05 comes up. I get an electrical program, become an electrician, start, you know, piping houses and wiring houses and, you know, all electrical shit. But it's residential. And if you guys remember, the older people in the room, you know, 2008 happens, right? Well, up to 2008, you know, 2007's happening, and not everyone realized how bad it was about to be, but I was fortunate enough to work for a shop that was smaller. And we started recognizing the impact earlier than anybody else. So we're getting 24-hour weeks, 32-hour weeks, and we're slowing down a year before anybody else sees this happening. And I'm 20 years old, 21, I don't know how old I was, pretty young. And not a lot on my mind besides, you know, women and money, right? So at that age especially. So I start recognizing, man, I'm not making as much money as I thought I was gonna make. This is kind of bullshit, like, what the fuck? So I started looking at other careers. And I'm like, this is cool, man, that's what I wanted to do, but the money's not where I wanted it to be. I wanted money, that was it. So I ended up going and I thought I was gonna be a cop, I thought I was gonna just change careers. I'm like, I'm out of here. Well, I was on a double date and this chick friend I'm with, her boyfriend on the date, his best friend was a lineman. And he's like, "Hey man, my buddy's a lineman, you're already an electrician, you should look into this." I'm like, "All right, cool." So you take the information on a cocktail napkin and, you know, most people will throw that away, right? It's like networking events. You get someone's number, you maybe don't call them back, you don't actually follow through with it, right? But I took that seriously. I took that information, I called up ALBAT, ALBAT's the training committee, and I called, "Hey man, how do I get there? How do I apply?" So they told me, "Hey man, you gotta fill out this information, mail it in, and we'll call you if we like you." Well, I get a call, and they say, "Hey man, you've been accepted." Oh shit, well, I missed the spot. I had an interview first. I was when I interviewed them, I was already an electrician, so same overall national union, but different local union. So it's like, not apples to apples, but like, you know, apples to pears, similar, but, you know, electricians are here, linemen are way up there, right? You know, as a lineman, I can say that. So, and they were very arrogant about it too in the media. Like, oh, you're an electrician, okay, kid. Like, how tall have you ever been before? Or how high have you ever been before? And I'm like, I don't know, I was on a lift one time and, you know, 15 feet. They're like, oh, okay. You know, you sure you're not afraid of heights? I'm like, well, of course I'm afraid of heights. Everyone's afraid of heights. And they're like, ah, good answer. So I got the gig, but the timing was shitty. So the timing was April of 08. In May of 08, I was set to graduate and become a journeyman electrician. So I had a decision to make. Well, these things aren't going where I thought it was going to go, but they have an opportunity to go be a lineman, start all over. So a three-year apprenticeship, throw it away, start over, come out ahead. All right, that's a pretty good bet. I like that. And I did it. And as you can imagine, if you're a 20-year-old kid and you know you had some older guys that were apprentices with me, like, what are you doing, kid? You big dummy. Why are you throwing this away? You're going to be a journeyman next month. Just tell them you're going to be there next month. I'm like, I don't think it works that way. I think if they invite you to come, you better fucking show up. They're ready to go to work. So I'm like, yeah, cool. I told my instructor, told my apprenticeship, hey, guys, I'm out of here. If I fail, I'll be back. I'll just get back in line. They're like, no, if you leave, you're out. I'm like, cool. See you later. So I left, became a lineman apprentice. Quick mini story. The Wednesday before we graduated, I got really fucking drunk, did a big burnout in the parking lot, almost got kicked out of that class, but luckily, linemen are degenerates, they knew that. Like, oh, this kid fits right in. You help pay for the parking lot, just repave it, you're good. Okay, cool. So that almost blew that fucking shot right before I even started, but anyhow, I graduate that class, I become a journeyman lineman, and even before that, though, everyone in that electrical world, residential, the market crashed, right? Everyone knows that, right? 08 was a fucking terrible year, especially for residential construction. All my buddies who were shitting on me saying, what are you doing leaving, kid, you big dummy? Hey, do you got any more room for linemen over there? I'm like, nah, good luck, buddy. You know, and a lot of those guys left.
What's up, guys? I know you're enjoying the podcast, but I want to pause this. I want to bring some attention to my sponsors, Telson Tequila. I want to go over a few cool little facts with these guys. So they are from Las Vegas, and there's thousands of tequilas in the world. Telson is one out of only 40 tequila brands that owns their own distillery. So it's super unique. It's a big flex, right? It's really fucking cool. So based out of Las Vegas, super rad. Check them out. Use our discount code, FINAD20, TelsonTequila.com.
Trade. They're not even electricians anymore. They became whatever the fuck, nurses and all kinds of shit, right? But not electricians. So I became a lineman. A couple years later, I finally become a journeyman. So I had two apprenticeships back to back. So I was like a 7.5 year apprentice. But I finally made it, right? So that was the first time I bet on myself and knew that this ain't really jiving. I'm going to take a risk. And it worked. With the high school baseball thing, no one better. And then the trade thing, you know, making that jump too was kind of the first two big moments in my life. I didn't realize how big they were till later, right? I had no fucking idea what I was doing. I was a kid. I was dumb and I was just winging it, right? But it worked. So fast forward, you know, I'm a lineman for a few years now. I became a journeyman in 2012 and then I left in 2022. So when I was a lineman, I was good. Like, if you guys know what the trades are like, if you know what a lineman's like, I mean, there's good linemen, there's bad linemen, and there's people who die, right? I mean, it's just how it goes. I was pretty good. I was a foreman. I was very well respected. People came to me for questions. I was an instructor for the apprentices. I was on the executive board of my local union. I was as involved as you could be, and I was good at it. So when I decided to leave, nobody knew why. Nobody understood me because they didn't see me. They didn't understand. Like, I was buying rental property. I was doing this entrepreneurial stuff to like invest my way out of line work for a while, but nobody saw that. Like, oh, Tony's got some rental property. He's got some Turo cars. Cool. Side hustle. But I was really trying to do is to get out. So when I made that decision to do that, nobody saw me. I was like, what the fuck? My own family? You know, I don't want to put anybody on blast, but the closest people you can imagine to you didn't support me, and they actually fought me. I was like, cool, that's ammo, I like that. You know, it's like that Kobe Bryant mentality, right? Or Michael Jordan mentality. It's like, you just need a little bit of a little edge on your shoulder, and it works, right? So for me, weirdly, that worked. So when I left, the projections were, I'm gonna take a 2-year pay cut, and then you'll come out ahead, right? I'm like, okay, I can stomach that, and that was what I committed to doing. Well, what I didn't know is that I had something pretty special, was a niche, and that was my lineman buddies, right? So I switched and became a financial advisor, planner. And what I mainly focused on was life insurance. And the reasoning with life insurance was important to me was because a lot of guys in my job died. You know, like statistically, if you look at top 10 dangerous jobs in America, lineman's always on that list, right? It fluctuates, and you know, crab fishermen are really dumb, so they fucking die more than us. But like, besides that, you know, like, we're up there every year, you know? We're just fighting for number 6 or 7. There's some really dumb people out there. Linemen are actually a little smart, but they're just cavemen, right? So we do die a lot, and it's heartbreaking to see these GoFundMe pages, right? So I kept on seeing these GoFundMe pages. How can I make an impact? And you know, what I realized when I made the career change, and I'm gonna say a comment. It's not meant to be funny, but I want you guys to understand why I made this switch. And my agent was talking to me, and I'm looking at her, and she's kind of convincing me to do this. And I'm looking at her, and she's making the same money I'm making, right? Which I was making between $300,000 and $400,000 a year. I was making good money as a lineman. Linemen make very good money, but you have to work for it. It's hourly. And hourly is hourly, right? So I was averaging 80 hours a week. But I was talking to her, and she's making about the same money, and I'm looking at her. And I don't mean to be offensive to anybody in this room, and hopefully John's got the filter for all that already, so everyone's gonna be cool here, but she was a short, fat Mexican chick, and she was not pretty at all, right? And I say that not to rag on her, but if she was a bombshell and she's making the money, I'll be like, oh, she's making the money because she's gorgeous, right? That's easy. I can't compete with that. But when I saw her, I'm like, oh, yeah, you're nice and everything, but you're not attractive. No one's coming to you because you're attractive. So I have a shot at this. And a lot of her clients were linemen. I'm like, fuck, dude, who can talk to linemen better than me? Like, me. I know I can. Because they're assholes, man. If you know a lineman, they're probably an asshole, you know, they're dicks, right? But they don't want to talk to anybody in a suit. They don't want to talk to anybody at all. If you're not a lineman, you're, you know, lower than whale shit to them. And it's true. So I'm like, well, I can talk to these guys. I am these people. I can do this. So I did it. And that's how I got my hot start, was I had a niche group. I went to my guys, and that was what I did. And I made a really good name for myself really quickly. And I was setting records at Northwestern Mutual that probably won't be broken. And they're pissed they won't be broken because I left Northwestern Mutual. So, and to that was like, I wanted to expand myself, and I wanted to get on social media, and I wanted to get on podcasts and get my stuff out there because I knew I had to help more people. And it was like, dude, not everyone knows what life insurance can do. Not everyone understands what life insurance can do for you. How can I get more people? Well, social media is very powerful. Got on some podcasts. It was a big hit. Except with Northwestern Mutual. They're like, hey, fucker, take that thing down. We'll talk tomorrow. I'm like, all right, cool. This should be good. So I told them, I said, listen, I'll take it down. You guys are the boss, right? But like, you guys have been praised. I was a golden boy, right? Came out hot, you know. You guys love the process. You guys love the results, but now you're shitting on my process. This is how I'm getting out there. But you're telling me I can't do that. All right, cool. Comes down. Well, I didn't know this, but somebody from Penn Mutual was watching that. And he had a one-year non-compete, so it ran up around June, and he calls me. And I think he wants to, like, cold call. He wants to be a client. So I'm all ready to do this client meeting. And, oh, yeah, cool, dude, let's talk about life insurance. And I hear the conversation kind of shift. He's like, he starts talking, says a couple key words. I'm like, all right, dude, let's cut the shit. What do you want? I'm not happy where I'm at. If you're trying to recruit me, I'm listening. And he said, yeah, dude, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. So I saw your podcast. I like your image. I like what you're about. Love for you to join us. So that was a Monday. Tuesday, I met the team. They basically told me, hey, man, we see you. The numbers you have, we all were at Northwestern Mutual. You're eventually going to get tired of their shit. The difference is you got there in 1 year. That took us 5 years to get there. We're kind of giving you a break. Like, you need to get out of there while you can because you're already up here. You don't even know it yet. So, okay, cool. And then I made the switch, Penn Mutual. Been killing it ever since. And that's kind of what I do now is life insurance. And I do it because I really am passionate about it. And there's a lot of cool ways. Everyone in this room can benefit from it without even dying, right? And I just try to do this. Everyone in this room, you know, it's like, you don't want to die, but you're going to die. But, you know, just so you know, in case no one told you yet, you will die one day. But the idea is showing you guys how he can help you while you're alive and when you die. So that's kind of my story. I don't know how much time I got left, John. What we got here?
Well, they want to bring the entrees out.
So okay. I was going to do a couple questions and answers later on if you guys, or you know what? I'll be here all day. If you guys have questions, hit me up. Follow me on social media, Anthony_Ficarra_. I just want to say thanks again to John for having me. I'm not a public speaker. I mean, fucking Carmen killed it. Kind of set the bar pretty high. So, you know, thanks for putting me after Carmen, John. But, you know, thanks. Yeah, for sure. Thank you.